Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, as I mentioned last week, we've done a number of episodes of Eyes on Success where we discussed careers and employment for the visually impaired, and we had a number of listeners ask us about some of the issues around working from home. We started that discussion in last week's episode.
We'll continue last week's conversation with Ron Milliman, a blind retired professor of marketing, about working from home, this time focusing on the employer's perspective, which is good to know as an employee so that you can present prepared points in your negotiations to begin or continue working from home. And we'll also, towards the end of the show, hear from several people with experience working at home. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Ron Milliman.
Personally, my attitude is always this. My blindness is my problem. It's not really my employer's problem. It's not society's problem. And since it's my problem, I felt it was, you know, my responsibility to do as much as I could to adapt to society. I didn't really expect society to adapt everything to me. And with that philosophy, I tried to provide as much as I possibly could to facilitate my own work environment. I asked my employer, like the universities, for as little as possible. I asked them to provide me a computer way back when computers were just coming into use, and asked them to provide a speech program for me. Fortunately, because I didn't ask for very much, and when I did ask for something, they almost always accommodated. I'm sitting here trying to even think when they didn't. But that's because, again, I didn't ask for very much, and when I did ask for something, they knew it was something, you know, pretty important, pretty significant. It wasn't something frivolous. But, you know, everybody has to make their own decisions in that regard, and that just has to be my own personal approach.
And to expand a little on Ron's point, I think, as Nancy often says, it's a lot better to present someone with a solution than a problem. We as visually impaired people know what things and technologies work for us and what's likely to work. So it's up to us to present solutions to people, and hopefully our employers will be accommodating.
Let's start by reintroducing Ron Milliman from last week's show.
I'm Ron Milliman. I was totally sighted up until age 8 through a very rare illness called Stevens-Johnson syndrome. I lost my vision partially, and I was partially sighted until about 17, and I lost what vision I had through a very bizarre wrestling accident. And then I was basically blind. I went to undergraduate school at Eastern Michigan University and went on into the business world for a while, and decided to go back to graduate school. So I went to Arizona State University for my MBA degree and my doctorate in marketing, economics, and quantitative systems. Then after that, I was involved in some, as it turned out, very experimental surgery, much more experimental than what I thought it would be. But I was able to restore my vision. And when I say restore, I restored my vision in one eye to, believe it or not, even better than normal for about almost 4 years. And I was driving a car and all kinds of things, which was fantastic. But through complications, I lost it again totally and permanently. So I've actually lost my sight twice.
And professionally, Ron has worked as a professor at several different universities and has started several different smaller ventures in a variety of fields, and you can get the details on that in last week's show.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is some of the positive and negative aspects of working from home from the employer's perspective. And it is important to know this, because if you're in an interview situation and the employer says, well, how would you handle such and such? It's nice if you've had a chance to think about it ahead of time and come up with a positive response that will put the employer at ease and let them realize that what they think is a problem might not be.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the advantages about working from home from the employer's standpoint.
Now, there's a number of advantages to the employer, and it's important to know these, I think, especially if you want to try to sell your employer on the idea of making your position a telecommuting-type position. For an example, it can reduce overhead costs to the employer because they don't need extra office space and office supplies and that sort of thing, so it can save them money there. It's also attractive to the best, most qualified employees. And the employees tend to be more efficient and more productive as telecommuters. And so that's an advantage to the employer. You know, oftentimes in a work environment, employees waste an awful lot of time talking to each other and just various ways that they find of wasting time where they're getting paid for it. So that's an advantage to the employer.
You know, I always felt when we worked at Xerox that if we took a day or two off to work from home, I always seemed to get a lot more work done, both because of that and also because I felt it was kind of a luxury and sort of a nice thing my employer was letting me do. And we sort of focused a little bit more and seemed to work a little bit harder.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I know that I prefer to work out of my home office, even as a professor. And frankly, they provided me an office. I had a nice office at the university. But when I worked over there, almost invariably, I'd be in the middle of maybe a research paper I was working on or student papers I was grading or something like that. And of course, I'd have my door open, and because you sort of have to have an open door policy for students. And, you know, one of my colleagues would be walking down the hall and they'd stop and say, "Oh, hey, Ron, how are you doing this morning?" And they'd come in and sit down and start chatting. Well, gosh, they could sit there and chat for 45 minutes and there's 45 minutes of work time that's gone. And not that I dislike talking to my colleagues. I love to talk to my colleagues, but it certainly infringed on my work. There's no question about that. So employees tend to be more efficient, more productive as telecommuters in general.
So I would guess there are other advantages to the employee that the employer might envision.
It also cuts down on sick leave. You know, even though you might not feel real, real well, if you're telecommuting, you're working from your home office, it's a lot easier to go ahead and work. Where otherwise, if you had to go to the employer's office, you say, "Oh man, I think I'm just going to call in sick this morning." So it cuts down on sick leave. There's also greater employer retention and less turnover, and that results in a substantially reduced recruiting expense to the employer. So that's a big plus. As a result of telecommuting can be done literally anywhere in the world, that it expands the opportunity in terms of workforce. They can get the best of the best, whether they're in California or London, England, or wherever they might be located. And I don't like this as a telecommuter, but from the employer's standpoint of view, I guess it's a plus, and that's telecommuters tend to work more hours for, frankly, the same pay. Even if they're paid per hour, a lot of times they don't write down all their hours exactly, and so the employers tend to get more bang for their buck, so to speak.
What other advantages can you think of from the employer's perspective?
If they're trying to compete with other companies that offer telecommuting-type jobs, it makes them more competitive if they, too, offer telecommuting-type jobs. Or if they're in an environment where other companies are offering telecommuting jobs, but they do, that also gives them a competitive advantage. So that's a good thing.
So, Ron, most of our listeners have visual impairments. Can you think of any specific benefits to an employer to have a person with a disability working from home?
They don't have to make any special accommodations for employees or service animals. And we kind of cringe at saying that as an advantage, but we have to be honest about it, because if you're a person with a disability, there are accommodations that we ask for in the work environment oftentimes, and even including accommodations for service animals, that if it's a telecommuting type job, we don't have to ask for, and employers don't have to provide. So that ends up actually turning that around and making that a plus, a selling point.
So you painted a pretty rosy picture of telecommuting from the employer's standpoint, but I assume there are also some downsides from the employer's standpoint. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, there really are, and you have to be realistic about it. Again, if you want to try to sell your employer on trying to make your position telecommuting, you want to be aware of both sides and be prepared for some of the objections you might get and some of the negatives. For an example, it can require a little bit of a different type of management skill set. It takes a little different type of manager to manage somebody as a telecommuter as it does as somebody right there in the employer's environment. Some managers really like control and oversight. And with telecommuters, they lose a substantial amount of control and oversight. And as a telecommuter, that's probably an advantage. But as an employer, it can be a disadvantage. And so that's an issue.
And what legal and or financial concerns might there be?
There are also, of course, legal considerations for the employer, and that's things like unclear liability issues. If you get hurt while you're home on the job, it's job related, who's liability, who's responsible for it, that's an issue. Also comes up whether you're going to be treated as a regular employee or if you're going to be treated as an independent contractor. A lot of employers like to slip you in as an independent contractor because it has a different tax impact and a different cost impact to them.
So I guess to go along with that, as the person telecommuting from home, you should know what your status is and how that it might impact your own tax situation.
That's absolutely true. That's something that needs to be clarified right up front, and be aware of how the IRS and how the two terms are defined and make sure that you fit into the right classification, right definition.
Do you think there are any negative impacts on the quality or nature of the work that would get done?
Telecommuting is not real well suited for teamwork. If your employer is in a situation where a lot of teamwork is involved, it doesn't fit into teamwork real well, even though you might use conference calling, Skype, that sort of thing. It's oftentimes a fairly poor substitute for face-to-face teamwork.
There's nothing like networking in person.
That is true. That's absolutely true. And I know as a professor, I've taught in the classroom, of course, where we have spontaneous interaction in the classroom. And I've taught in a telecommuting type format where I taught online courses from my home. And even though we use the capability of all the electronics and conferencing, teleconferencing, that sort of thing, it still wasn't the same as the spontaneous interaction in the classroom.
Well, we used to talk about at Xerox, a lot of work and interactions happened over the coffee pot or even at the gym.
That's absolutely right.
Even that example you gave of the professor stopping in and using up 45 minutes of your day, it's entirely possible that just doing that, the two of you might have exchanged some thoughts and somebody had a new idea for something to work on, and maybe it wasn't time wasted.
Oh, that's absolutely true. In fact, that often was the case. You know, they might come in and say, what you up to? And I say, well, I'm trying to knock out this research paper. I'm doing some research on such and such. And they say, oh, you know, that's, yeah, I was thinking about something like that the other day and thinking about you. And, you know, we ought to, and then we maybe start talking about a new project, a research project, and kicking around some things and say, well, you know, let me get this project wrapped up and then let's get together and talk about that more. Maybe we can have lunch Thursday and talk about it some more. So, yeah, that happens quite often. Absolutely.
Well, and even in addition to the actual work content, some of the, what we used to call team building, personal lunches on your own time with your colleagues will happen less if you're working from home, especially if transportation is an issue.
That is true. That's absolutely true. Telecommuting doesn't tend to promote the company esprit de corps and staff relationships, and that really can be important, a certain amount of camaraderie that you miss out on.
Well, we've covered a lot here. What other concerns might there be to wrap up?
Now, here's another one in today's world you have to take into consideration, the company does, and that can be a major concern to them, and that's if you're working in a telecommuting environment using your own computer, your own equipment, or for that matter, any equipment that they provide, a computer they provide, but it's in your home environment, they lose a certain amount of control in terms of security. You may be exchanging by email and through electronic transmissions, very sensitive information, personal or information that would be considered classified or very secure or should be very secure. They lose a certain amount of security that way, and some companies, that can be a real issue. But anyway, that's some of the negatives. There's probably some others, but those are some of the major ones that one has to be prepared for when looking at it from the employer standpoint.
But as you pointed out, it's helpful to know what those negatives might be and how you might address those or just discuss those with a potential employer.
Yeah, I think it's very important to look at each one of the negatives from their point of view and then think, okay, now, if this comes up in our conversation, if I'm trying to sell my employer on making my job telecommuting or allowing me to work from my home, and these kinds of things come up, I need to be prepared for how I can answer them, how we can handle them.
So now a lot of people, like Pete and I, used to sometimes work from home, even when we had regular day jobs in the office at Xerox. And so we would kind of intermittently telecommute, whereas I think a lot of the interest that was expressed in the conversation among our listeners was about, you know, full-time working at home. Do you have any comments on the distinction between kind of casual, occasional work from home versus a real full-time position at home?
The nice thing about the blend is that you still get some of the benefits of telecommuting. You still can reduce your expenses and some of your frustrations, and it still has a lot of the positives. But it also overcome some of the negatives because you're still interacting with your colleagues in the office environment 2 or 3 days a week. And so you're still getting the socialization, still gives you some time to share time with the boss and the higher ups. So it's oftentimes a really good compromise is where you have a blended situation.
In our next segment, we'll be hearing from some visually impaired people who actually do work from home. But first, let Ron give you his contact information in case you'd like to ask him some more questions.
My email address is R. Milliman, and of course, Milliman is like Millie Mann, M-I-L-L-I-M-A-N, R. Milliman, at twc.com.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. We have a couple of websites. My consulting website is a3businesssolutions.com. That's all together, a3businesssolutions.com. Our new site in our new business is millitronics.biz, B-I-Z. And Millitronics is M-I-L-L-I-T-R-O-N-I-C-S.
Now for this week's final item, some personal comments from three individuals who have each spent years working from home, either currently or in the past.
My name is Mary Emerson. I worked for IBM from 1977 through mid-2005. During my career, there were a couple of different occasions when I got to work at home. The first was between June of 1991 and June of 1994. I worked with my own equipment. I was a technical writer at the time, writing books about database systems. I found that I worked a lot of overtime because when my day ended and I needed to finish a project or part of a book, I would work on that until I was done with it. When this ended in June of 1994, I went back to full time. Sometime around 1995 or 96, the division that I was in decided to implement an arrangement for employees to work one day a week at home, and I decided to do that, and I continued with it until 2005. Again, I did a lot of overtime because it was convenient to do it, and if I was working on something that needed a lot more work to finish it, I would continue to work on it until I was done. During this time, I was a system support programmer working with mainframe computer systems. We had our department meetings via a phone conferencing service. Everybody in the department could dial into a phone number. Everything was done online, especially our payroll reporting. The company needed to know the number of hours that we worked, the overtime that we worked, etc. So they kept track of us whether we were at home or not. It worked out very well for me. I found working at home to be much easier because I didn't have to deal with a commute every day. And I was at the office enough, especially during the second experience, so that I didn't feel isolated and I didn't lack for human contact. To contact me, you can email me at Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson at sbcglobal, sbcglobal.net.
Hi, I'm Gudrun Bruneau. I do work at home in my capacity as translator, telephone interpreter, occasional sound designer, and also as an occasional recording repairer. Well, I do not repair recorders, but recordings. The project I'm presently working on involves a series of one-hour concerts between the years 1964 through 1981. Advantages of working at home, what are they? Well, obviously, you set your own schedule. To some extent, you set your own rate structure. Take the jobs that you want and decline those that you don't want. But you can turn that same list of advantages around and look at the reverse side. That is, you're always available. There isn't a time when you're really off work. If you have a job and you go home at 5, as soon as you open your front door at 6 or 6:15 or even at 7, your home is your castle. Well, your home is not your castle when you work from home, I can tell you that. If you have any business at all, that changes. Secondly, your rate structure. Yes, you can set it, but sometimes you don't have any work. There might not even be any jobs to decline. Then there is the dreaded pajama syndrome. Here's the scenario. You wrote to somebody yesterday, and they were going to email you about this job if they're interested, so this morning you can't wait to see if there's anything from them in the inbox. So you dash down and you sit down. And this is all you're going to do, really. 3 hours later, you're still sitting there and you're feeling pretty logy by now. I say do something early in the morning, even if you put your exercise clothes on, because that gets you out of the pajamas. When you start the day and you will think more clearly to do all those reports and invoices generated by all the work that you attract. So if you want to talk to me more about working at home, excluding my pajama collection, please email me at gbruno@centurylink.net. That's gbrunot@centurylink.net.
And this final one we recorded at the end of a lesson that Chris Bell was giving to us about editing audio so we could do better producing Eyes on Success.
I'm Chris Bell. I work at home, and there's a lot of good reasons to work at home. You can dress like you like, and you don't have to put on your makeup, for those of you that do.
And tell our listeners what you actually do from home, Chris.
If you need your vinyl transferred, if you need a backing track, if you write, range, produce, lead worship, whatever you do musically, if you need an audiobook read, for all your audio needs, come see us.
And you also give lessons, right?
I teach a recording technology from home. If you use Sonar, Reaper, SoundForge, etc., we'll teach you how to do that.
Using a screen reader.
Yes, and our sighted friends are welcome too. Everybody's welcome. We have some humorous times with mixing blind and sighted people. It's a learning experience for everybody.
And we just had one of those great lessons.
My contact information is CB, that's Charlie Bravo, 1963 at sbcglobal.net.
And your website?
www.affordablestudioservices.com.
And Nancy and I have also had some experience working from home while we were working at Xerox, usually just on an occasional basis, a day or two at a time. But it was quite handy to be able to be flexible when there was something going on around the house where maybe the kids didn't go to school one day and we could still get work done and we had to be at home. Sometimes it was also a good way of getting some additional work done without distractions, and no one was going to bother us at home in general. But often we had to schedule those days. We didn't do that kind of randomly. we had to know in advance, because otherwise we'd have many meetings scheduled and interactions with other people at work that we had to accommodate. And Xerox was very good about that and flexible.
Ron mentioned something about using your own equipment or company equipment. Xerox actually insisted that we use company equipment, and because they knew that we sometimes did work at home, they provided us with company-owned computers at home, and that way they could control what kind of operating system and security software was running on our home computers. Of course, when we retired, that meant we had to give them back and buy personal computers.
In fact, prior to the days of the internet, Xerox even paid for the installation of an ISDN line so that I could communicate at a decent data rate with work. And of course, we did this over a secure VPN connection with special logins so I could actually interact with computers and some of the servers at work in a secure manner that Xerox didn't have to worry about.
And of course, the way they figured it was worth it to the company to pay the expense of purchasing the equipment, including the ISDN line, because what did they get back was all those extra hours that we were able to put in nights and weekends just because we were in the middle of some interesting, challenging project that might have had a tight deadline. And because it was easy to do it, we would put in the extra hours.
So even if you work in a traditional office, there might be circumstances under which it might be better or more convenient to work from home occasionally, and many employers offer that opportunity. I also want to thank the people we had on the show in terms of providing the contact information if people had more questions. So we'd like to thank Mary, Gudrun, Chris, and also Ron. And as they indicated, they'd all be happy to talk with you if you have any more questions about working from home and about their experiences. And we also want to point out that Gudrun and Chris were featured in previous episodes of Eyes on Success, and we'll have links in our show notes to those episodes if you'd like to hear more from them.
And if you want to contact us, just send us an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
If you'd like to share more of your thoughts about working from home and connect with other listeners on this topic, you can join our discussion list by sending an email to eos_discuss+subscribe@googlegroups.com. There are often some interesting conversations going on there. We'll have all of that contact information and how to subscribe to our discussion group in our show notes associated with this show at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1506. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the InterpreType Deaf-Blind Communication System. This system enables deaf-blind Braille users to communicate in a variety of situations, including telephone communications, texting, instant messaging, internet, VRS, and face-to-face communications with others who are neither deaf nor blind. We'll speak with its inventor, Ken Gann, and his assistant, Josh Brewer, about this portable yet powerful tool. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.